Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. The first Tulsa Lit Fest kicks off tomorrow in our community, a partnership of the Center for Poets and Writers at OSU Tulsa, Magic City Books, and the Tulsa Literary Coalition, and the Tulsa Artists Fellowship. The four-day celebration of writing in all forms and writers includes poet and New Yorker poetry editor Kevin Young, Vanity Fair contributing editors and nonfiction writers Robert Polito and David Friend, novelist Francis Mays, along with a small book press fair, writing workshops, and a host of other events. The Tulsa Lit Fest will take place at venues throughout the Tulsa Arts District, with the evening events centered around the OSU Tulsa Auditorium. And best of all, every single event on the schedule is free to the public. And you can learn more about all of the events of Tulsa Lit Fest at tulsalitfest.org. Joining me today is the co-chair of the event and the board president of the Tulsa Literary Coalition, the founder of Book Smart Tulsa, Jeff Martin, who will preview this weekend's events. Jeff Martin, welcome back to Studio Tulsa. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
This weekend marks the first Tulsa Lit Fest, which is a group of organizations that are involved in the literary arts joining together to present a free literary festival. How did this come about?
We have been wanting to do something like this for a long time, and I'd always thought it would be a few years down the road. I'd always kind of had the number 2020 in my head, thinking that sounds like a nice time to start something like this. But there happened to be this convergence of organizations. So the Tulsa Artist Fellowship, which started out with a visual artist track, but then created a literary track as well. And we've been working with them a lot, especially over the last couple of years, as they've been bringing in their fellows and doing a lot of great work on that literary side. And then the reemergence or revisioning of the Center for Poets and Writers at OSU Tulsa, which had been around for a long time and was
Teresa Miller involved
put together by Teresa Miller, who was certainly a mentor to me personally and did a lot of the work that we're continuing now in a lot of ways. So those two organizations partnered with Magic City Books, and we all sat down and thought, you know, how could we pull something off? And it started off very small, and then, of course, things, you know, roll into each other, and it's become a fairly large first attempt, this four-day festival, a lot of different components. But I think it's going to be something that Tulsa has never seen before. We've had some good dry runs at this, but never something that was a free festival, which is kind of in keeping with the national model, where if you look at Chicago, Austin, Los Angeles, even, you know, smaller cities like ours, having these literary festivals that are free and open to the public, because the idea is hopefully you can create this big tent and hopefully reach a lot of people that may not be coming to the events usually, and you can expose them to what you're doing. And we'll see how it goes. I'm curious to see what the response is. It's the first time we've done it.
And this really came together in the matter of just a few months, didn't it?
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to the second annual Tulsa Lit Fest in the sense of having a full year basically to plan it and think about it, because we really did. Yeah, we had a few months to think about it, ask the authors about coming here, get it on their schedules, work out travel, all those different things that have to come together, figuring out the venues, all those little details. But I think that people, when they go to it, hopefully they'll have, you know, I'm giving it away here, of course, but I want them to think that this thing's probably been in the works for 2 years. You know, I want it to feel that way to the guest on the end user side. And I think it will. We really have pulled together something that I think everyone will be really proud for.
Now, it looks like the event is going to be centered around OSU Tulsa, but there'll be events all over the Tulsa Arts District, also a couple of other events that are further away, too.
Yeah, OSU Tulsa is kind of serving as our evening main venue, kind of for our, I guess what you'd call our featured evening events. But so we're doing our Thursday night, our Friday night, our Saturday night, big events there. And then, yeah, throughout the day, we'll be doing workshops and other things throughout the district. The idea is to use the Tulsa Arts District as our hub, especially moving forward. There's so many galleries and spaces from Kane's Ballroom to Woody Guthrie Center to 108 Contemporary. There's all kinds of places we could do stuff. Not to mention, we're not attempting any outdoor events this year because it's April in Oklahoma and who knows what will happen.
Not to mention that it may snow.
Yeah, who knows, right? So we'll see down the road if that happens. But there's an opportunity there if we ever wanted to do something on Guthrie Green or some spaces like that to grow. And I think that having it in the district where it's mostly walkable, where people can eat at the restaurants and they can do all those things is the vibe we're trying to create. We want people to make a day of it, basically, or a weekend.
Now, one question I was going to ask, is this really designed for people who are going to spend all of 2 or 3 days doing these events? Or is it really more geared towards people who may just pick and choose 1 or 2 things to go, or maybe even just one thing that appeals to them?
This year has been designed, for the most part, with 1 or 2 exceptions, to be something that you could go to everything. Where we did not do concurrent events. There are a couple of overlapping things, but for the most part, we wanted to schedule it to where you could basically not have to miss something, because I'm not totally sure we're at the place yet where we have audience for competing things. We'll see. I think we can get there, but we didn't want to make people choose between 2 cool things, at least for this first year. So technically, if you wanted to, you could. I'm excited to see if any diehards try to attempt the marathon of the Tulsa Lit Fest and try to go to everything. But I do think for the most part, it'll be, oh yeah, you know, there's a cool thing on Thursday night. There's a fun thing Friday, and maybe I'll go to one thing on Saturday. But I don't think we have any sense that people are going to do that. And also the diversity of offerings we wanted to do is something that would bring in people of different interests. So you may only be interested in one event, but you might hear about something else while you're down there, get exposed to something, and hopefully there'll be some cross-pollination of interest while we're down there.
Now, what is the ultimate goal? Is to have a big event where there's a schedule and we're going to go here at 1 o'clock and then, you know, as opposed to 3 other events at the same time? Is that the ultimate goal, you
think? The ultimate goal is to further the idea that in Tulsa, we have a vibrant music community. We have a growing and more vibrant than ever film community. The visual arts are well established here. And for the last 10 years or so, through things I've been doing when trying to build the literary community on the shoulders of people like Teresa Miller and Francine Ringgold, who ran Nimrod for so many years, there have been some great things over time. But I think we're really starting to hit our stride now and see the snowball effect, where we're merging the worlds of, for lack of a better word, entertainment and literary culture, where we're having people come out and they're just coming to have fun and they're not thinking of it as a intellectual exercise or something they have to get extra credit for college. They're coming just to have a drink and hear a cool author and meet like-minded people who want to talk about not just books, but ideas. You know, when people get together to talk about books, they're talking about current events, they're talking about things that interest them.
You're talking down the road, music and visual arts. Is that a plan down the road, you think?
When you go to some of these larger festivals, and I've been to many around the country, a good one for people who ever want to go try something regionally would be the Texas Book Festival in Austin, which is set in and around the state capital in Texas. It happens usually late October, early November every year, and it's tens and tens of thousands of people down there. And they bring in, you know, vendors. There's, of course, food. There's concerts. There's all. It really is kind of a multifaceted atmosphere. And it's grown into different things, much in the same way that South by Southwest was originally just about music. But now there's a tech fest and a food fest and a movie part and all these different things.
Small C cultural fest, yes. In a way.
And I don't think that we want to have mission creep and move too far away from books and reading. But there's a lot of tentacles. You know, we're doing a couple of movies for this that are tied loosely into some of the projects, but that's just to have some fun. I think fun is not to be discounted in terms of the cultural life. I think sometimes we overlook that small factor.
Well, let's talk about the schedule you've assembled for this first Lit Fest. It begins tomorrow night with a biographer of Nora Ephron and her efforts. And I love the title. It's like, I'll Have What She's Having, the famous line from When Harry Met Sally, and how her writing in that period sort of changed the romantic comedy in film. Erin Carlson.
Yeah, Erin Carlson is this writer who wrote this book. I've always been a fan of Nora Ephron, especially her writing, but she's a really interesting person, you know, someone who's kind of, she ran the gamut between, you know, journalism, writing for Esquire, and at a time where women were not writing for some of these magazines, she was really doing a lot of really groundbreaking work. And then moving into movies later in her life and kind of redefining what the romantic comedy could be and infusing it with some of her more political ideas and bringing some feminism into the world of romantic comedies with When Harry Met Sally and You've Got Mail and Sleepless in Seattle and some of those films. Even things like Heartburn, which was a Jack Nicholson and Meryl Streep film that was based on her novel, which was loosely based on her relationship with Carl Bernstein. So really interesting. And so we're going to have Erin come. She's going to talk about the book. That's our kickoff night. So yeah, we're going to show You've Got Mail afterwards, which is a great book-centered story. Of course, it's about an independent bookstore going out of business, so it's kind of a cautionary tale. We don't want to read too much into that, but it's going to be a lot of fun. We even had Tom Hanks sign 50 copies of his new short story book that we're going to have available that night, just that night only, that he sent us as well. So just some fun little things.
And that's the kickoff event, and it takes place tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock at OSU Tulsa Auditorium, which a lot of the evening events will take place.
And it's free and open to everybody, just like all the events.
Now, the next day, Friday, you'll be having your writing workshops. Now, I understand most of the writing workshops, they did require pre-registration, and most of them are filled, but there is still some space in a couple, or maybe one.
Yeah, and we also have waiting lists, so people can go to tulsalitfest.org. You can check out the list of workshops, and it really is a we asked some of our visiting guests to do a workshop while they're here. We have an editor from Penguin Random House who's doing a workshop for people interested in writing children's literature. There's all different kinds. And yeah, for the most part, they have filled up, but there might be a few slots here and there. And we do have a waiting list that I think we're going to look at tomorrow even and see if there's any spots. But that was something we wanted to do as kind of the public service component of the Literary Festival. So we have the entertainment presentational component. This is kind of the flip side of that.
And I think on Saturday, there'll be a native writing panel with Sterling Harjo and Mary Catherine Nagel. Same is true there. I assume it's filled. But what's going to happen in those writing panels?
Well, they're all going to be very different. Some are going to be more instructional. Some are going to be more ask the expert kind of thing, where we're going to have an opportunity to have someone like Kevin Young, the poetry editor for The New Yorker, in town. Well, if we have him in town for a talk about his new book and about his work for The New Yorker, we thought, well, hopefully he'll spend some time with us and work with local poets. And I'm sure they'll want to ask some questions about not just how to get published in The New Yorker. That's not really the interesting question, but, you know, how to work with an editor. What are editors looking for? These are questions, you know, so many people are writing now. I feel like everyone we know has an idea for a book, and that's a great thing in terms of the democratization of writing culture. You know, when I was a kid, it seemed like publishing seemed like going to the moon. It seemed like an impossible feat. I didn't understand how it happened, but there are so many avenues now to meet people, and not just through self-publishing, but just to have access. The idea that you could email an editor. I mean, who even knew how to reach an editor or talk to an author? You can tweet at someone. There's so many different ways to get advice. So some of them will be in that area.
Yeah. Now, the festival kicks off in earnest Friday evening with a couple of events. Tell us what's going to happen Friday evening.
So we're going to have, as I said, Kevin Young. If people don't know Kevin Young is one of the leading poets in America right now. He's been kind of at the forefront of the poetry world for several years, but he only recently took over as poetry editor of The New Yorker, which is a very prestigious position. He took over from Paul Muldoon, who had been doing that job previously and is also a quite amazing poet. But he's got a new book out called Brown, which is receiving rave reviews, and he's going to be here as our guest, and I'll be interviewing him Friday night. That'll also be at OSU Tulsa. But before that, we're going to have a little event over at the Mainline Art Bar called 7 Minutes in Heaven, which is kind of a reading showcase for local writers.
It's several Tulsa Artists Fellowship
members. Yeah, exactly. A lot of the Tulsa Artists Fellowship writers. And we're working with the Tulsa Voice editor, Liz Blood, who is one of the editors over at the Tulsa Voice, who has had this as a pre-existing series that she does on her own. And so we wanted to incorporate some of the other literary happenings that are already happening in Tulsa as part of the Lit Fest. So we wanted to bring that into the mix. And that's just a real fun, lighthearted, of course, drinking encouraged. That's why you can walk the district, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, hopefully, you know, make it an Uber-friendly book night.
So is this the writers reading their own work or reading work that appeals to them? Because I guess that the whole idea is you're doing a short passage at 7 minutes or less.
Yeah, I think it's original work for the most part. Because, you know, I want people to realize that with all the Tulsa Artists Fellowship writers that we have here, it really is such a huge pool of talent. I think we've not gotten quite to the point where people have a sense of the level of writers people are bringing in. There's a, you know, couple of dozen writers living here, working here. Some of them are from all over the country. Some are from outside the country, and they're getting exposed to Tulsa. We always say when I'm bringing people into town for rider events that I use this theory of double exposure, right? The idea is that half of the thing is about exposing those people to Tulsa, what we have to offer. And then the other half is exposing the people of Tulsa to outside ideas, new riders, all those different things. And it's two sides to that coin. And I think with the fellowship, having all these people here, over the next couple of years, people will start to think, you know, this is really a special moment. It's such an easier thing to see the work of the visual artists. You can go down to the galleries. You can see the red dirt rug. You can see all those different things. It's a little bit harder to consume what's happening with the writers.
Unless they have a book that's published at that very moment.
Exactly.
Which has happened.
Yeah, we've done a couple of those. But this will be hopefully a chance to give them some more spotlight.
Yeah, and that's Friday at 5 at the Mainline Art Bar. And then at 7 o'clock that evening, an evening with Kevin Young. You know, in the old days, the New Yorker had such influence over poetry. Does it still have that influence today?
Well, it's an interesting thing when you think about the role of poetry in America today, in the sense of public venues. We recently lost the Writer's Almanac. You know, that's an interesting thing to think about. That was a very prominent daily space for poetry. So the question is, where can you find poetry or stumble upon it? If you go back 50 years, most major American magazines had poetry in them. You could argue that the New Yorker is really the last major space for that. And not just one poem. There's 3-4 poems in there every week. The New York Times Magazine, luckily, over the last year or two, started putting poetry in there every Sunday. So that's kind of a return to some area. But that's still kind of, you have to be a subscriber. It's not as in your face as public radio or some of these other spaces would be. But yeah, the New Yorker is probably, and if you ask a poet, where do you want to publish your poems? They're probably going to say the New Yorker is their aspirational goal. Not to mention all the smaller literary magazines, but in terms of mass culture, that's probably the mountaintop still.
My guest today is Jeff Martin, the co-chair of the new Tulsa Lit Fest, a weekend of literary events that'll be taking place at sites around downtown Tulsa. It's first year, and it is a free event for virtually everything, I think. Everything is free this year.
Everything's free and open to the public.
And he's my guest today on Studio Tulsa. Well, on Saturday, a number of events. We alluded to the Native Writing Workshop, but they'll also be featuring small presses in a series of events Saturday morning. Tell us a little bit about this.
So this is not an uncommon thing for literary festivals to do, but there are so many. You know, we get, I think, only a glimpse of the real publishing world through the top five, or what I call the five families of publishing, you know?
Which seems to be fewer families all the time. Yeah, it's
Penguin used to be Penguin, Random House used to be Random House, but now it's Penguin Random House, and everything's kind of a conglomerate. But there are so many great small presses doing great work. One of them that we have really kept an eye on, and I think is one of the leading small presses in America today, is Grey Wolf Press. They were one of the people that we really wanted to reach out to if we were going to attempt to do a small press book fair, and reach out to them. One of their editors is going to be coming here. They'll also be taking part in the small press book fair. There will be a panel of the people. So there's going to be a few things. There will be a book fair, meaning there will be representatives from all these different small presses there. You can go meet them, see what they have. And then there'll be a panel where they'll be talking about what is small press publishing in 2018. What are we, you know, is this an optimistic time? What are the challenges? It really is, in some ways, a really special time for these small presses. There's, if you looked at the top 10, 12 of them, they're doing great work. Some of them are doing work that are, you know, getting nominated for some of the larger prizes.
Well, and the thing about it is that the big publishers now, they're all about selling multi-million copies of books. The small publishers are really some of where the more interesting quality work's being done that are never going to sell multi-million copies, but it's some of the best work.
Exactly. And there's a great history of some of these people. When you look at someone like Grey Wolf, they're starting to get to the point where they're kind of fighting above their weight class. And a lot of smaller presses do that. I could name several, even smaller poetry presses like Coffee House Press or Copper Canyon Press. Some of these people that really reach out into the broader culture. But that's not unlike someone like Grove Press, if you look historically back at some of these people. Even when publishers were actually their own business, like Farrar, Straus and Giroux and some of those smaller things that had a really literary focus before they got sucked up into this larger conglomerate. Even Alfred A. Knopf, if you go way back, had this focus on literary, you know, really focusing on that. They still do that, but it's part of a broader kind of network of publishers. So we're really excited about that, exposing the people of Tulsa to these small presses. They're going to be bringing a lot of unique work with them. And for example, there's a great publisher in Dallas called Deep Vellum, and they actually have a bookstore there as well that if you're in Dallas, you should definitely check it out. It's in the Deep Ellum neighborhood of Dallas. But Deep Vellum, they really focus on translations. They find great work and work to have it translated, and they publish it through their imprint. And they've been really bringing a lot of great unknown, at least to the States, work over here, which is kind of an unheralded thing, you know, bringing and finding, you know, those voices in different countries that aren't having an audience in the United States. That's a really special thing, because every now and then someone will show up and they'll become the next big thing.
Yeah. A couple other events to mention on Saturday. That would be a special panel remembering the crime novelist Jim Thompson with Robert Polito, and then a panel on with David Friend of Vanity Fair talking about his book, The Naughty 90s. Tell us about these two events.
Yeah, so Jim Thompson, if people don't know, was one of the great crime kind of pulpy writers of the 20th century, and he was from Anadarko, Oklahoma. And he wrote The Getaway, The Grifters, Pop 1280, The Killer Inside Me, probably most famously. But he also had this amazing career co-writing some of the early films with Stanley Kubrick, like Paths of Glory and The Killing.
I didn't know that. Yeah, no, that's a great movie.
Yeah, so he had this really interesting career. Some of his, you know, books have been made into a lot of films. And he just had an interesting life in and of itself. He worked for the Federal Writers Project during the WPA years. And Robert Polito wrote a biography of Thompson called Savage Art. It came out about 20 years ago, won the National Book Critics Circle Award, was a big deal when it came out. But I'm not sure that he ever did anything here in Tulsa for that. And he has been traveling back and forth to Tulsa, working a lot with the Dylan Archive, the Bob Dylan Archive. He's working on a catalog with them, helping them do some projects. So we thought, you know, if we could get him here in town, let's do a big celebration of Thompson. One secret thing we haven't told anybody really about is Sunday night, there is a secret movie night, 7 o'clock at the Woody Guthrie Center. This is a free event. We're not going to tell you what movie we're playing, but it is related to Jim Thompson, and it's not something anyone will expect, and something probably most people have never seen. 7 o'clock, it's a pop-up event. It's not on our schedules. It's not on the calendar. You have to just show up and see what it is. And Robert Polito is going to introduce the film, and Michael Chaykin over at the Dylan Center has helped us acquire and curate this film. So it's going to be a kind of a special closing, a little after-party thing.
Now, you mentioned Michael Chaykin and the Dylan Archives. They'll be involved in the festival on Sunday and Saturday evening, Woody Guthrie Festival, Woody Guthrie Center.
The center.
The center will also be involved as well.
Yeah, so Dylan did this book in the 60s called Tarantula, which is kind of a prose, poetry, slash novel, slash free association jumble of oddness. And it was never actually officially published. It got bootlegged a ton. And then years later, it was officially published. But there were all these bootleg copies and all these different things. Well, of course, the archive has all the original manuscripts. They have all these, you know, mock-ups of different covers, all these things that have never been shown before. And so we're going to do a little short pop-up exhibition of these materials at this Woody Guthrie Center. And then Michael Chaykin, the curator of the Dylan Archive, who has put all this together, is going to do a talk about that book, Tarantula, on Sunday and go into the history of it. It really has some interesting backstory to it. And the journey of that book is quite fascinating. And seeing those materials, which we think have never been shown publicly until this weekend before, will be a really special thing.
And then Saturday night at the Woody Guthrie, or I guess it'll be at OSU Tulsa Auditorium, there'll be a celebration of Woody Guthrie, but also with the Oklahoma Poet Laureate.
Yeah, so the Oklahoma, you know, probably, I don't know, gosh, how long has it been? Maybe a decade we've had a poet laureate in the United States.
Oklahoma.
Well, we've had a poet laureate of the United States for a long time, but Oklahoma added one, and a lot of states do have these. You know, years ago, Francine Ringgold, for example, was mm-hmm. one. Benjamin Myers has been one. Our current poet laureate is Janetta Calhoun Mish, and she's going to be here, and she's going to be actually doing an event with a group called Poetic Justice, which I'm sure you know about, but if the audience listening doesn't, it's a group that works with incarcerated women to work with them on writing and using poetry as a way to deal with your problems. It's really an amazing project that's getting a lot of national recognition. It's something we should be really proud of here in Tulsa for having spearheaded this. We have a lot of issues with incarceration and specifically women, incarcerated women in Oklahoma. And this is something that's really making an impact. So that group is going to be part of this Saturday night program. They have a film called Gray Matter that will be shown as part of this. So all of those things, it'll be kind of the poet laureate and showing the impact in a real world way of poetry and how it's a living thing. It's not just something you go to coffee shops and hear. It's not just something that, you know, people chew on their glasses and read a magazine about, you know, in some hoity-toity way. It's something that when it's put into practice can really make an impact.
Yeah. And some of that poetry is just sort of life and death searing too. It's really amazing.
Raw. Very raw.
Yeah. And one other event we should mention, which you're partnering with B'nai Amuna, is Francis Mays.
So this is going to be kind of our big closing day event Sunday, and it will be the one event outside of the Tulsa Arts District. We needed some space, larger space for this, so we'll be over at Congregation B'nai Amuna, who's been one of our great partners. We've had so many
for Booksmart Tulsa.
Over the years, they've just been a great partner for literary events here in Tulsa. And so Frances Mays, who most famously wrote Under the Tuscan Sun and many other books about her life in Italy, and she's written, gosh, everything from cookbooks to other travel books. She has a new novel out that's set in Tuscany. Surprise, surprise. believe it or not, you know, there's a lot to go back to that well. You know, it definitely will make you want to go to Tuscany, but if you can't afford it or you don't have time, it's a nice mental staycation to get to go through the show. We're really excited about that. She's going to be in conversation with Sasha Martin, who is a local food writer and memoir writer who wrote a book called Life from Scratch and has kept a kind of international food blog for many, many years called The Global Table. So we're trying to pair up people of interest with some of our writers. So, you know, using someone like Sasha to talk to Francis or using someone like Michael Chaikin, for example, talking to, you know, someone about the Jim Thompson thing, even though there's overlap, it's a way we can highlight people on two sides of the coin, you know, and getting the Tulsa Writer Artist Fellows in there as well.
All right. Well, it sounds like a great event. If people want to learn more, I guess, where do they go?
You go to tulsalitfest.org, tulsalitfest.org. You can see the full schedule there. Also, in the most recent issue of the Tulsa Voice, there's a full schedule people can use if they want to have something to hold on to while they're walking around in the district. But we hope to see everyone there. It's going to be a really special weekend.
All right, Jeff, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Jeff Martin is the co-chair of the new Tulsa Lit Fest, a weekend of literary events which kicks off tomorrow evening at 7 with a celebration of Nora Ephron at the OSU Tulsa Auditorium. It continues with a whole list of events all weekend long, concluding Sunday evening with a mystery Jim Thompson pop-up film event at the Woody Guthrie Center. You can learn about all the events, which are free and open to the public, at tulsalitfest.org. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own, do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.